Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. We'll continue our study through the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 14 this morning. I promise I'll cover more than one verse today. We just take it as it comes. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 16 is our text this morning. Won't you stand with me as we read God's word? Let's start with verse 9, top of the paragraph, second paragraph. Verse 9, chapter 12 of Romans. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for who you are. You're the one true living God, our God. We're grateful for you. Father, we're grateful for your word, the Bible, the very words of God that we have in our hands. What a privilege, what a joy. And Father, I thank you for this church, this group of believers, that we can come together freely in fellowship, encourage one another, and study your word. Father, I pray that you will guide us and teach us this morning, that your spirit will teach us from your word, that you will mold us and shape us into the image of Christ for your glory, for your honor. Father, this is your time and we're your people. May you be pleased in it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Here we get more instructions from God. Instructions for how to be a servant, a real, genuine servant of God. How to be real as we serve Christ, as we serve God, we serve others. Continue to get instructions from Romans 12. And here, God expects us to be compassionate. Real compassion. Compassion in a real way. God addresses compassion in our text this morning. Our compassion with those who persecute us. With those who have good things happen to them. Those who have bad things happen to them. Even those who are not like us, those who are different from us, he expects us to be compassionate. So let's dive in and see some of the instructions. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. In terms of attitude and actions towards those people who persecute us. Persecute. Literally, the Greek word means pursue us. To pursue us in order to do harm to us. Those who hunt us down. Have any of those people in your life? Maybe not today, not in this culture, not in our society. Maybe there's some folks at work or in your neighborhood that give you a hard time for your faith, for your stance. As you continue to strive to be holy, behave holy. Elsewhere in the world, people are persecuted. We can read Hebrews 11, especially the back half, the last half of Hebrews 11, and see those who have gone before us and how they were persecuted, sawn in half, stoned to death. What are we to do with these people who persecute us, these people who pursue us to do us harm? Whether it's just to ridicule us at work, give us a hard time in the neighborhood, or whether those who physically want to harm us. There's people who would like to kill Christians. There are parts of this world that it's illegal to be a Christian. People lose body parts for their faith in Christ, lose their life for their faith in Christ. That's persecution. And what does God tell us he wants us to do with these people? What are we to do with those people? He says not just to resist hating them, to resist retaliation or resist revenge against these people who persecute us, not just to resist, not just to ignore them, but to do what? Bless them. Bless those who persecute you. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is what God wants us to do? What does that mean? The word bless in the Greek, eulogio. Eulogio. You know, I have a hard time pronouncing English words and most Greek words, but occasionally there's a fun Greek word, eulogio. I like the sound of that one. We get the English word eulogy from this Greek word, eulogio. Eulogy. What's a eulogy? You have eulogies at funerals, these speeches that we make on behalf of or regarding the deceased, speeches of praise. We start telling all these good things about the deceased. That's a eulogy. Sometimes people are eulogized in songs or poems, aren't they? With their accomplishments or character, they're eulogized. Say nice things about them, to praise them in words, literally. That's what we're to do as we bless those who persecute us. Those who pursue us to do harm, we're to speak well of them. Is that hard to do? Absolutely. Look at the text. In case we missed it, back to verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not what? Curse. Our natural response is to curse, maybe at a minimum. We want to fight back, don't we? We want to protect ourselves. We want to slap somebody silly, don't you? You ever had that? I'm not the only one who felt this way. I know that. And I haven't really been persecuted. Maybe made fun of, hassled, but not persecuted. Our natural response, we would cuss them, to curse them, to at least wish bad things upon them. God says, no, bless them. We are not only natural. Born again, true believers in Jesus Christ, we have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're not only natural. Real compassion takes a supernatural response sometimes to circumstances, to people, to this life. It's supernatural to bless those who persecute us. It's not a natural response. January 8, 1956, 5 missionaries in Ecuador. Jim Elliot. Maybe you saw the movie, End of the Spear, Aka Tribe, 5 missionaries in Ecuador killed. They were trying to bring the word of God to this tribe. Jim Elliot, stabbed with a spear, killed like that. That's persecution. Folks were hunting him down to kill him. Because he was different. His wife, Elizabeth, ever heard of her? You know what she did? She blessed those who persecuted her. What would your reaction be as a spouse to the very people who killed your husband? She went back to that tribe, spent her life and a good portion of her life in that tribe, ministering, bringing the word of God to that tribe. And many, many of these Indians in Ecuador became Christians because of Elizabeth Elliot. That's blessing. Even the very man who killed her husband got saved because she chose not to curse them, but to bless them. That's blessing those who persecute you. What about Jesus Christ? Thinking of examples this week, there's no better example than Christ willingly hanging on a cross, dying at the very hands of the people he came to save. Bless those who persecute you. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father. Real compassion takes a supernatural response. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. You see the words of Christ? But I say to you who hear, are you hearing? Jesus is talking. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Verse 28. Bless, same word, exact same word as in Romans 12, 14. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. The words of Christ, that's God's expectations of us. Our attitude and our action towards people who persecute us. Back to our text, Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Okay, now we're talking. That's a bit easier, isn't it? That whole bless those who persecute you thing, that's a tough one. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I can rejoice with other people rejoicing. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Or is it? You ever been in a competition and came up second? Can you rejoice with the first place, the winner? Maybe it's a little tougher, isn't it? What about if you competed, not only competed, but trained for 4 years for the one event, and you come up short? Could you then rejoice with the winner who is rejoicing? You ever heard of Daniel Bailey? 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing. Daniel Bailey lost the 100-meter sprint by 0.04 seconds. 0.04 of a second. The winner, Mr. Bolt from Jamaica. Usain Bolt from Jamaica, you know him, fastest man in the world. Fastest man in the world by 0.04 seconds. If you were Daniel Bailey, could you rejoice with those who are rejoicing? Be tough. Not so easy instructions. What about the woman who just had a miscarriage? Can you rejoice with the woman who just gave birth? Tough. What about the guy at work who spent diligent hours working, doesn't get a raise, doesn't get the bonus, but the dude next to him does? You miss out on the promotion, but the other guy gets the promotion. Can you rejoice with those who rejoice? May not be so easy. Man, when you work hard, you come up short sometimes. You feel like you don't get any breaks. Why is God blessing all these other people and not me? God says, have some real compassion. Serve God genuinely. And rejoice with those who rejoice. Man, real compassion is not just for the time of sorrow and grief. It's not just sympathy in bad times. It's showing mercy even in the good times. It's stepping back and joining in the joy, the cheer, even when it's not about you. That's real compassion. Sounds easy, but in reality, it often takes a supernatural response to rejoice when others are rejoicing. Back to our text in verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Now it gets even easier, doesn't it? Bless those who persecute me. I don't know about that. Not hardly. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Maybe. Weep with those who weep. Yeah, I can do that. That's doable. When bad things happen to people, can we sympathize with them? We can. We can feel sorry for them. But can we weep? Literally, the term here in the Greek means to sob, to wail aloud. Man, that's more than just feeling sorry for someone. It's empathy. Empathy is the ability to share another person's feelings and emotions as if they were your own. Can we weep when others weep? I just feel sorry for them. Ah, too bad. Do we weep with them? When someone hurts, do we hurt? When someone grieves, do we grieve? When someone cries, do we cry? Do we have that kind of compassion? Mercy or love for others? Real compassion weeps when others weep. I had a friend. He and his wife were friends of ours, still are friends of ours. First baby. Stillborn. Almost to term. Gave birth to a dead baby. I'll never forget being in the hospital room. Man, what do you do? The wife's holding her stillborn baby. Dead. I got no words for that. God's in control. I just wept. All four of us. Hospital room. Wept aloud. Real compassion empathizes with others, not just sympathizes. Oh, too bad. Sorry. We weep when others weep. That's a real, genuine believer in Christ. Has that kind of compassion. Verse 16, more instructions. Be of the same mind towards one another. Man, this is not unity. I studied this for a while, and first pass, it seemed like unity. Be of the same mind toward one another. Scripture teaches us a lot about unity and elsewhere in other passages. But here, look at this. Literally, the same mind in the Greek means to think the same. To think the same. Could be like-mindedness, but the key, I believe, is the word toward. It says not to think the same mind with or as one another, but towards one another, towards others. Think the same towards other people. This addresses how we think to others, about others, towards others. It addresses partiality, favoritism, discrimination. Do we think more highly of some people than other people? Do we show partiality? Do we show favoritism, discriminate? How is our mindset? How do we think towards everybody? God's telling us here we are to think the same way towards everyone. How's that? How do we do that? Well, let's look at the text. Verse 16, we see a do not. Be the same mind toward one another. Think the same way towards everyone. How? Here's the way not to think. Do not be haughty in mind. Haughty in mind. Do you use that word much? Maybe it's more like our high and mighty. Don't think high and mighty. Don't get all snooty. That's a word, I'm sure. Don't get snobby, snooty, high and mighty, haughty. Don't have that kind of mindset. Don't think that way. Listen, back in Romans 12:3, we were told not to think too highly of ourselves, to have a proper understanding of God, to have humility, have a proper understanding of God and ourselves, proper perspective, humility. God addresses ourselves and how we think about ourselves in verse 3. And in verse 16, he addresses how we think about others. Not to cop some haughty, high and mighty attitude that would cause us to show favoritism, to treat people unequally, to discriminate. All right, that's the don't. What about the do? Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. But associate with the lowly. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. If you have a snooty, stuck-up, high-and-mighty type attitude, you wouldn't dream of showing compassion to everybody, all the people. Maybe just those that you perceive on your level. It's just people you like. I'm not going to deal with those others I consider lower than me, whatever that attitude is. They're not like me. They're different than me. I don't get them. I'm not going to think the same way towards them. I'm not going to associate with them. I'm not going to show compassion to them at all. God expects us first to think properly of ourselves, humbly. And he expects us to think the same way towards all people, even the so-called lowly folks in our minds. Look at James chapter 2. Turn to James chapter 2 with me. We can get some more instructions from the very words of God. Keep turning right. Get to Hebrews. You're just about there. Right after Hebrews, then James. James chapter 2. Great example for us. Verse 1. James chapter 2, verse 1. Brethren, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes. See the difference? Rich man, poor man. Fancy dressed, shabby dressed man. That's the situation. Verse 3, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and you say, well, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there. Or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Look at verse 9. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin. Think God's serious about how we think towards other people? Absolutely. If you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Why? For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. Let's think the same way towards others. Real compassion does not show favoritism. It is natural to act different, to think different about people who are different than you. And when I was a missionary in Kenya, everybody had dark skin except me and a few others. But you know, there was discrimination even amongst the Kenyans based on where they're from. One tribe versus another. I couldn't tell the looks one way or the other. You know, we think of discrimination as just between skin color. It's not. It goes deeper than that. It is natural for us to act different, think differently towards people who are different than us, even if it's from where they live. I mean, consider the folks in Memphis, right? Or Nashville instead of Knoxville. There's three stars on our flag, right? Tennessee flag for three regions. It's natural, but God expects us to be what? Supernatural. We are not only natural. We have the power of the living God inside of us so that we can change the way we think about people, even those from a different place or with a different skin color or a different accent. Real compassion takes supernatural responses. Back to our text, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. We're almost done. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Let me catch up with you. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Last instruction for today. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Just like the kid on the video, there's some days I'll think I'm smarter than I really am. We're all like that, no matter what our age, possibly. We're tempted to be wise in our own estimation. Real compassion takes real wisdom, godly wisdom, wisdom from above, not man's wisdom. Let's go back to James chapter 3. We had practice getting to James. Let's go back to James one more time today. This time to chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. James 3:13, who among you is wise and understanding? Question mark. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds. Man, actions speak louder than words. Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Verse 16, James 3. For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But, verse 17, in contrast to the earthly, the natural, man's wisdom, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. The word mercy literally is compassion. Real compassion takes real wisdom. Wisdom from above, God's wisdom, has no room for elite attitudes, inflated egos, or superior mentalities. Real compassion takes real humility, takes a supernatural response, doesn't it? Lastly, let's turn back to Romans as we close. This time we'll go all the way back to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 9. A reminder that we are not only natural. If we're going to be genuine in our compassion, if we're going to follow the instructions of Christ and be real, we have to understand we're not only natural. Chapter 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If you're a true Christian, you got the Holy Spirit. Can't have it any other way. No Spirit, You're not truly born again. You're truly born again. You have God's Spirit indwelling in you. Verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will do what? Will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who what? Dwells in you. We have the power of the living God inside of us. We are not only natural. Supernatural. God's Spirit. And we can respond to people and circumstances supernaturally. And real compassion takes often a supernatural response. Compassion that blesses those who persecute you. Compassion that empathizes with others. You know what I mean? Even if I can't say it. Weeping and rejoicing with others. Real compassion does not show favoritism, discriminate. And real compassion demonstrates wisdom from above. Real, genuine followers of Christ, Jesus, will exhibit real, genuine compassion for others. So this week, that's the challenge. Let us demonstrate real compassion to others as we look for opportunities to serve Christ this week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for loving us. You are the ultimate example of compassion. For you've had compassion upon us, an unworthy, unholy people. You've loved us, demonstrated that love with your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, I ask that this week that we'll be mindful of the Spirit that dwells within us. That we lean not on our own strength, but your strength. We find ourselves in various situations. Help us to be real, genuine, and compassionate towards others. To respond the way that pleases you, using the strength, your strength, through your Spirit in us, so that we can please you, Father. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.